Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward Podcast, and on the other line is the one and only incomparable Jim Ozarski. He is, of course, the beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks, for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Jim, it was trade deadline day. Did you set your notifications, your shams, your Woj notifications? I mean, I did. Every buzz for a while there, it was crazy. You knew the Bucks wouldn't be heavily involved, and they weren't, but it is a fun day for NBA fans, man. Those two guys just have everything covered. It's crazy.
It is coming from the NFL, where you have, you know, Schefter and Rappaport are the two dueling Bigfoots, with the occasional other national type from those outlets and others kind of wedging their way in. But you're right. The Shams Woj thing, I think, honestly, JR, I find NBA Twitter tracking them more interesting than the actual trades that they're trying to report on.
You like watching the watchers more than those that they're watching.
Yeah, and if our listeners are into that, I mean, I think Woj kind of won this trade deadline based on those who keep track of such things. But I think the Bucks obviously wanted to get ahead of things, get PJ Tucker in the building as early as they could. With their deal last week, not a surprise that the Bucks weren't involved really today. No cap room, no draft picks. Obviously at this point, no players to move. So yeah, I think if you're a Bucks fan, you were sort of hoping that at least in the early going, you know, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, didn't make any huge moves. I don't know what they could have done. Obviously Boston and, Miami kind of tweaking with their rosters. But yeah, it was uneventful from the Bucks perspective, you know, but, you know, we'll see how Victor Oladipo helps or affects Miami. That's something to watch going down the line.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think the Bucks actually had a very good deadline because of what you just said. Kyle Lowry is still with Toronto. Norman Powell is out of the Eastern Conference. The Bucks' personal, I don't know what you'd call him, but just a guy who does so well against the Bucks. He's now in Western Conference. Lowry not going to the 76ers or the Lakers, who are, you know, if the Bucks get to the NBA Finals, that's still a very likely candidate to face the Bucks. I mean, that's huge. I really can't believe he's still in Toronto. You had, you know, like you said, some moves from Miami and Boston, but I don't know, Oladipo, like, is he, you know, he hasn't played well, and is he healthy? And I don't know if that's a massive, it's a big name, but I don't know if it's a massive upgrade necessarily. And I just, you know, the Bulls, I guess, are as interesting as anybody, bringing in Vucevic and really, you know, adding and getting him for not much, but the Bulls right now aren't that threat. So I tell you what, with the 76ers and Nets not getting markedly better, I think the Bucks have to feel really good about how things went, especially because you could figure PJ Tucker, their move came already. Their move happened a couple weeks ago. He's actually looked very good on defense too. He's been helping out here as the Bucks are on this 8-game winning streak. But I think the Bucks have to feel great about what happened on the trade deadline. I think they're in good shape, Jim.
Yeah, because look, it as we have talked about on this podcast since the beginning, JR, it is about the end of the year. And look, if currently, you know what, the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff race is what, the Knicks, Hawks, Celtics. I mean, yeah, maybe the Bulls can sneak in there.
Who knows, though? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, that's going to be asking a lot of a team to kind of totally retool and find a new identity. Not to say that can't be done, but I think the Bulls just want to make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
they're kind of where the Bucks were in the the Herb Cole years. You know, I don't, they're not going to really be a problem should the Bucks play them in the first round. You know what I mean? That's
although they're a more interesting first round opponent now than they were, you know, yesterday. So
sure. I'll give you that. I think the Bucks did okay. You know, PJ Tucker was the guy they acquired and wanted, and the type of guy they wanted. And they got him, you know? So yeah. And you mentioned Norman Powell and the Raptors. I mean, again, just a huge thorn in the side. And I'm not surprised Kyle Lowry wasn't traded. I mean, I didn't really buy the idea that he'd be moved. I think that was more just, you know, if you're Toronto, I guess you have to listen. But it just seemed like it was one of those where he's that rare guy, JR, that, like, you're better served if you're the Raptors just keeping him. You know, give your fans whatever there are up down there in Florida. He'll probably re-sign there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's older. It just wouldn't have made sense. Maybe Philly would have had to really give him something. And at that point, if you're Philadelphia, you're like, well, are we going to tear apart this already title contender for what? You know what I mean? And have to sort of restart. So, yeah, I think the Bucks did okay with what they did. We'll see who they had in the buyout market.
Yep.
They do have a little more flexibility there.
Yeah, give me your thoughts on the buyout market. Some names surface. No surprises. We kind of knew the type of player who'd be available. Anybody jump to mind to you as somebody that really the Bucks should be chasing?
You know, I go back and forth on the idea of adding another big man. You know, I know Andre Drummond's the sexy one because people know who he is, right?
I guess he's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fit. You know, I mean, do you consider Otto Porter Jr. a big man at 6'8"? I mean, he's not a prolific rebounder by any means. He's not a rim protector.
He gets paid like all those things, or he did get right. paid like all those things.
I just don't see. I guess the one that maybe, you know, people might be pounding their chests about is a backup point guard, a la Jeff Teague. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, our friends down in Orlando are saying the Magic might buy him out, and you know, Mike Budenholzer has some history there. That, I mean, the player, the type of player makes sense. You know, backup point guard, veteran, doesn't need to really be the focal point of everything. You know, so that one, I guess is the one that kind of would be the one that fits a mold, if you will, JR. I think, especially, but look, he's gotten better as a 3-point shooter, and he's definitely been a thorn in the Bucks' side, you know, with Boston. He's having a good year from beyond the arc and, you know, career year, to be quite honest. So maybe, you know, he's a guy who's going to look to ring chase and see if, you know, maybe the Bucks can slide him in, but he would really be the only sort of name I think that would kind of, you know, grab attention.
We've seen Austin Rivers a little bit getting thrown around.
Yeah. I mean, aren't they going to, I mean, wouldn't the Oklahoma City Thunder want to keep Austin Rivers?
I would think so, but
28, yeah, I don't know about Rivers. That's another one of those guys. I think maybe the name is more sexy than the player. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know? I totally. It's hard to know what teams way out of the playoffs are thinking or doing. Right. You know,
They do need somebody to play for them. I mean, that's the other part about some of this. It is so and so is going to get bought out. So well, I mean, they still need to field a team. For you know what I mean? So Rivers is put it this way. I think, you know, here's a guy who, if I had my druthers, I'd rather take Jeff Teague because you're not, I don't think that's a guy who's going to want to come here for the purpose of winning a championship. And I'm not saying anyone else would mess with chemistry.
Sure.
I mean, you're coming to Milwaukee right now, JR, knowing what your role is, like just a few minutes, come off the bench, play scrub time with Sam Merrill and Jordan Nora and you know, Mamadi. Like you kind of, and then maybe if something happens, you get some crunch minutes when it matters. And to me, I think, I don't know if I had my druthers, I would, if I had a choice, Jeff Teague might be the one I go with just for the stretch run.
Yeah, if there are no other reason to keep him away from another Eastern Conference contender, because he is also a problem for the Bucks inexplicably. And we will talk about this game against the Celtics. The two guys that come to mind when I think of that game right now, Jeff Teague and Daniel Theis, whose last second shot could have gone down. I think in most universes it does. Both those guys got traded, so they will not be in the rematch between the Celtics and the Bucks coming up on Friday night. I don't know if there's anything else really to point to when it comes to roster machinations. I mean, the 76ers did get our old friend George Hill. We've seen George Hill. We know how valuable he can be in that role you're talking about, that knows his role, backup guy who's, you know, just looking for a ring. That's a great addition for Philadelphia. So I shouldn't completely poo-poo what they did at the deadline. That's something. And Orlando Magic just completely tearing it down. The Bucks' first-round opponent last year. I really thought they had some intriguing pieces. All those intriguing pieces now play for other teams, including Evan Fournier in Boston. We may see him Friday, not sure, but we might see him Friday night in his new threads with the Boston Celtics. Lots going on, but not much for the Bucks. We knew that. Let's talk about PJ Tucker real quick before we get to that Celtics game. We've seen him now in a few games. He looked great. Really, really good in the amount of time we've seen him doing exactly what he's brought here to do. And that is mess stuff up, you know, like just he's got great hands on defense. He's very engaged. He doesn't play a ton of minutes yet. Probably see a little bit more, not too much more than what we've seen. But for a guy who came in cold, man, he fits really well. He's done really, really well. I got to think the Bucks are pretty excited about what they got here with Tucker when they traded for him from the Rockets.
I mean, look, there was a little bit of question, you know, does he still have anything left in the tank? 35 years old, you know, was what we saw in Houston the result of age or disinterest? And at least in limited time, it looks like it was more disinterest.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And wanted to be in a better place physically, you know, which would get him there mentally. And yeah, I think you saw in just those limited amounts of time, maybe what people hope to see from Torrey Craig in his limited amounts of time. Obviously that didn't work out. And now going forward, I think if PJ Tucker can defend Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown the way that he did, and be strong on the perimeter, obviously on the inside, we saw him affect the DeMar DeRozan in the paint on a switch in his first minutes against the Spurs. That's what he's there to do. I saw JR, I'm a member of some of the Bucks like bigger Facebook groups, and someone was already posting like PJ Tucker needs to score. And it's like, that's not like, if I write a story where PJ Tucker scores 18 points, JR, I'll be surprised. Like, yeah,
that's not going
like,
to happen.
He's not like, he's there to knock down a couple corner threes. Maybe he gets three or four of those opportunities in a game. Maybe he gets a couple easy layups, you know, in that dunker spot. No, he's there to play high level defense, and you're right. In just the few minutes, we saw what he can do and maybe what options that gives the Bucks going forward.
So in that Celtics game, we did see some big minutes from Tucker on defense. We saw some big defensive plays, period. Some big blocks down the stretch from Brook Lopez and Dante DiVincenzo. Watching this game, It had a sinking feeling. You know, I just thought this was a bad performance because they had a 25-point lead. It whittled away down to a one possession, and Daniel Theis had a very good look at the buzzer with 1 second left. You know, after the Bucks had fumbled out of bounds what would have been a game-clinching steal, that would have won the game. It just went a little bit long, rattled out, Bucks prevailed. They've won 8 in a row, as we mentioned. Rematch with the Celtics on Friday night on ESPN, 6:30 p.m. tip, I think that game is. But you know, the more I sit on this game and think about it, the more I kind of am really impressed with it, because the Bucks, you know, didn't have Giannis performing at his best. Surprisingly, he's not available at all after this knee sprain he suffered. He missed the game against Indiana earlier in the week. He's back and not himself either. I said Miami, Freudian slip there. Either Boston took him out of it, out of what he was trying to do, or he just wasn't as right. Drew Holiday hurts himself kind of late in the game, so they were not clicking on offense, and they pulled it out. And maybe that's just Chris Middleton doing what he does against Boston. How we feel about Jeff Teague and Norman Powell, Boston feels about Chris Middleton. But I don't know. Like, I actually think this was a pretty good one to hold off and win. A little bit lucky because the shot doesn't fall at the end, but that's a gutty win. They you're going to have those if you want to be the best team in the East.
Yeah, but does that make up for the Justin Jackson deep three at Oklahoma City. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
or the three to open the year against Boston. I mean, that's like one and one. One crazy shot that shouldn't have gone in, one crazy shot that should have.
Right. So, I mean, I know for Bucks fans early on, JR, we were talking about, you know, it felt like all those shots always went in. Well, they don't always go in. And but, yeah, I mean, to your point, I to that mentioning the Jackson shot or the season opener, the Bucks were losing these games. Yeah, like you would want them to blow out the Celtics, but let's be real. For all of the issues Boston currently is going through on the court, off the court, the players that were out there Wednesday night are still pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so you know, those guys, I mean, two All-Stars this year. Kemba Walker, obviously, is a very good player as well.
I made him my MVP pick, by the way, early in the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
So, they were going to come back. They weren't going to lose by 30. And, you know, the difference is the Bucks are winning these games now, JR. It's like we talked about after the Clippers game or the Memphis game. The Philadelphia game. They're winning these things, whereas before they weren't. They're doing it by making consecutive defensive stops, even if you think, oh, the defense isn't as strong in the second quarter, third quarter, early fourth. In crunch time, it matters. Now, look, the offense totally went away in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure what was happening, you know, where they couldn't get a good look. To your point, Giannis insisted he was fine. The knee was fine. He chalked up to an off night. Drew Holiday knocked knees. You know, he ended up being okay, but maybe, you know, in those early moments. And we know Chris Middleton sometimes can get stuck, if you will, depending on the defense. So I don't, you know, that needs to be, you know, better, but they were able to hold on to it defensively. And yeah, I think that's a good thing for this team, JR, because look, when they were, what was it, 16 and 13, you know, what do they keep telling Bucks fans and us? Oh, it's learning, it's process, it's building.
They tried
blocks.
To tell and, us. They tried.
Yeah. And well, this is what they, I guess, anticipated or hoped for. What was to be winning these games this way now, when they weren't before. So, I guess they've earned the benefit of the doubt a little bit down the home stretch here, the regular season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now this is sort of an esoteric question, and it's, we've asked it in certain ways before. So the Bucks are in these closer games. You mentioned the three in this 8-game winning streak that they had to pull out, basically, you know, one in overtime, two pretty close to the buzzer, with Memphis in there as well, Boston and Philadelphia. And that's great. The Bucks in past years haven't had these close games, and the conventional thinking is, well, that didn't serve them in the playoffs. They weren't able to, you know, they didn't know what it was like to be in crunch time. But really, I think the bigger issue in the playoffs is that they simply, like, teams adjusted to them, and they didn't have an answer for that. You know, the Raptors were on their heels. They figured it out, and then they just kept pushing through, you know, a couple years ago. Miami absolutely figured out how to slow down Giannis, and there wasn't really a chance to adjust to that. So when you see these close games, do you think, okay, that really is what they want? Because it's also another part of my brain is like, but last year they dominated everybody. Like, that's better than getting in a bunch of close games. They're not getting in these close games for sport. It's just sort of how it's rolled. So what I'm trying to say is, do you still see this team as better equipped for a 7-game series, better equipped for handling a team that adjusts to them and, you know, maybe makes things tricky for Giannis? To me, that's why this Boston game is encouraging. Giannis wasn't there for you offensively, and you were still able to pull something out. But I don't know if there's quite enough data to say, for sure, this team is going to be better in a 7-game setting where you see the same guys night in, night out.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we're there yet. Because, again, earlier in the year, they weren't winning the close games, you know. And so all you have to say is, oh, okay, well, now they are, and you're trying to look at who they're playing. So I guess more – look, if they play Boston or Brooklyn close or Philly close at home and win two of the four, three of the four, okay. You know, I think that's a different conversation. They beat Boston again Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, I think at that point – They go to Golden State, win a close game on the road, or Portland, a tough place to play. You know what I mean? I think that you mentioned data. I think if those are closer games that they win, I think we can say that it has been good. Now, to your point of the playoffs, look, I can only go with the players. It seems like Brooke Lopez and Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton to a degree have all sort of said, hey, kicking everybody's ass was great for 82 games, but when it was crunch time and it was getting handed to us, we didn't know how to handle it in the Raptor series and the Miami series. And they haven't said it that way, but they've kind of danced around it, JR. So if that's how they feel, I don't know how to just like discount that. And I don't know if that's the athlete mindset of like trying to make, you know, I don't want to say excuses, but like, you know, find definitions for yeah. things or find a positive in a close game when you think you should be better. I don't know. But if that's what they say, I guess we'll have to go with it for now.
Yeah. Speaking of Brook Lopez, let's talk about him. He wasn't left for dead before the All-Star break, but this is not his year. I mean, the decline seemed to be real. Not so sure anymore, because he has looked very, very good since the All-Star break. You know, he's in there at the end defensively at the end of that, at the end of the game against Boston. I mean, he has really picked it up on the offensive. What has gotten into this guy? Because he seems to have been reborn here.
Yeah, it's a good question. What's most interesting about it is, it has nothing to do with the 3-point line.
Right.
I mean, he's shooting like 25% from the 3-point line since the All-Star break, yet he's averaging almost 16 points per game. And what is it? It's catching lobs from Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. It's finishing tip slams and offensive rebounds and what they call Brooklyn Brook, you know, earlier in the year when he kind of flashes some of that old school, like big man post offense. Look, they need it, and having all the extra 3-point shooters has made up for the fact that he isn't shooting as well from three this year. Think about what we'd be talking about if he was shooting 25% from three and they didn't have Bobby Portis and Bryn Forbes and Drew Holiday making threes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now it's more of a positive that he's adding that threat, and honestly, JR is probably creating some more space. Because their teams are kind of having to respect the fact that if he catches it in the high post, he might actually go to the rim. Yeah. You know, it's not a bad thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Bucks, like we mentioned a bunch of times here, Celtics on Friday, then Saturday night it's the Knicks back at Pfizer Forum, and then the West Coast road trip begins. Their winning streak, I feel very confident, will not make it through this road trip, but I think the Bucks can really make some noise. Like it's Clippers, Lakers, Blazers, Kings, Warriors, Mavericks. Okay, at least three of those teams are very, very good, and I think you could argue a couple more in there as well as pretty solid, if not better than solid teams. I think I said a couple weeks ago I thought this was going to be the new like flashpoint for me. If they hang in through this streak, I'll know they're for real. I feel like through the last eight games, it's been proven to me they're very much for real, and I think they're going to do fairly well out west, and I guess they don't even really need to because they've put themselves in position where they're pretty much one of the top three teams in the East. It's them, the Nets and the 76ers, and there's going to be some jockeying back and forth, but it's not like it's not like that spot, one of those top three spots, is really in danger. What specific thing are you going to circle that you're looking for as they head out west and face some of the top teams in the Western Conference? Are you looking for them to match up with the Lakers or the Clippers specifically because you might see them in the finals or even, I guess, even the Warriors? I mean, what's sort of your thought process?
I think you have to go in there and beat the Lakers. I mean, no LeBron James, no Anthony right. Davis. Yeah, it's LA. Yes, it's going to be the second game in three nights, and you're thinking that Clippers game might be a tough one. Look, if you split your season series with the Clippers at home and home, that's
fine.
The worst thing. Beat the Lakers though. Like if they're down, all of you know those two key players, Dennis Schroeder still out. Like there's no excuse to lose that game. The Warriors are interesting. Steph Curry may just be coming back. They're a better team than the one they blew out on Christmas Day, especially at home. Again, if you're that team beat the Warriors. That's a 500 team as we record this. Dallas and Portland on the road. Now, that's interesting because those are teams that are, 6-7 in the West, but they would be the fourth best team in the East. So, you've already beaten them. Portland didn't have CJ McCollum. So that'll be a different game in that way. I get what you're saying, JR. I still think if you're going to feel you're a championship team. Now, I say it's still about getting the finals for this Bucks team. I just can't get my head saying they should win a championship when you haven't even gotten to the finals. So, although if you feel like you are and you can win championships, I think you got to go out west and come home with a winning record. How you get it, I don't think matters, other than you have to win the Lakers game at this point. The rest of those teams, I think Sacramento, beat Sacramento. I mean, win those couple games that you should, and then try to get another one or two in a tough road venue. I think that's kind of the next step for this Bucks team.
Yeah, I don't know if there's more to it, Jim. I think we've hit most of the bases. We didn't talk about the Indiana game. A little bit of an outlier shooting performance. Giannis off the floor. Bucks throw up a 140 spot. Giannis, of course, fainting on the sideline after a triple is kind of the lasting image from that game. I love Giannis. Journalistic neutrality, partiality, and everything, but the guy is so fun. He's just so fun for Bucks fans, and even when he's ailing, he's very engaged in what's going on. Bucks did battle back to beat the Spurs before that. That was not a given. That game was in doubt. Needed I think it was a 2010 stretch in the middle of the fourth quarter that kind of got everything back on track. I don't know if there's anything from those games you wanted to point to, or any last thoughts before we get out of here.
No, again, I think it's winning. Winning in different ways is important. I think, crushing a team like Indiana, that's what you should do. San Antonio, I know, is sort of in this tweener spot of are they a contender, are they not? It feels like they're done, so to speak. But, yeah. I think we kind of hit on it. I think the way that they're playing, and Drew Holiday, he said – a few days ago, JR, that he still kind of feels the effect of COVID-19. That there's he's like, oh, maybe you guys don't see it, but there are times I needed to tap out and sort of catch my breath. That didn't look to be the case against Indiana or Boston. So I think we're seeing now a special part of this Bucks team, and that's Drew Holiday working at full capacity in full chemistry, which we started to see right before he was diagnosed with COVID, JR. I think that is what has been really impressive the last few games, and I'm really interested to see going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's looked very much like a difference maker on this team, and no disrespect to Eric Bledsoe or any of the other guys that were here beforehand, but the Bucks haven't had quite this element, and it's clearly working for them. And once again, they will be back against the Celtics on Friday night. You should follow Jim Ozarski. He'll be there, and he will be tweeting up a storm at Jim Ozarski. That's Ozarski. And find everything he has at jsonline.com. That is a great place to get a subscription if you don't already have one. There's so much stuff going on. NCAA tournament, playoffs, and NBA playoffs, I guess, are not that far away. I'm thinking way ahead. I'm thinking about sunny weather, I guess. Major League Baseball season, of course, getting started soon as well. So find Jim, follow him on JS Online, jsonline.com/deal for the latest stuff. Jim, thanks for joining us, man. We'll do this again real soon.
Yeah, maybe I'll wave to you from the palm trees of LA, JR.
Oh, you're going to LA. You're going all the way out there.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for the very beginning of that trip. Two big games at the Staples Center. So who knows? I think, had to get away, JR. Had to.
Yeah. I'm so jealous. So jealous. I mean, it's this tease weather where it's like you saw 50s and 60s and you think, yes, it's spring. It's over. Winter is over. And then it just like lingers. It's like a disease. It just doesn't quite ever go away. So, Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You can also find me anywhere. I'm on Twitter. I'm at JR Radcliffe. That's Radcliffe with an E on the end. And I also write plenty for JSOnline.com. Thanks for joining us on the Point Forward Podcast. Hey, we got a new logo for the Point Forward Podcast. Shout out to Aaron Coy, who integrated some awesome design elements. We got the Wisconsin flag represent. I love it. I love this logo. Hopefully you've seen it. You can see it if you download us from Apple Podcasts. It's cool stuff. And we will chat with you again next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.